So today, I feel like, you know, what Steve was sharing this morning is an important kind of a, it was a good discussion leading up to what I want to share about. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but I would like you to join with me in prayer first. If we could pray together. Father God, we are so thankful today for this beautiful day. It's cold, yet we're inside a warm place. We have light, we have warmth, we have food, we have good health. We realize that we are a blessed people. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus who was willing to die that we could live. Thank you for the Word of God through which we can use as a roadmap in these times and know where we're headed, know where we're going, know what's going to come. We know what's already happened, where the prophecy has been fulfilled according to your Word. But it's not quite done yet. We believe that your kingdom is currently coming. And Lord, we look forward to that day when you say it's all complete. It is finished. Jesus will come and claim his bride. And so we want to be that bride, that spotless bride without spot or wrinkle that Jesus is coming to seek. So help us today as we go through the Word and we open the Word. We want the Holy Spirit here. We want you to minister to us. We want our hearts to be open when your Word speaks that we would receive and say, Amen, Lord. Father, help us. Bless each one that's here with us today. I pray that you would give them all your blessing today and in the future. We love you, we praise you, and thank you, and especially pray that you would watch over Roman and Mary as they travel through these wintry roads, bring them home safely today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, yeah, the bitter cold, I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoy a few days like this. It does take a lot more firewood, but I think it's part of winter. But I'm also encouraged to think about spring and the faithfulness of God. You know, he allows winter to happen. We have snow and cold. And then, I don't know if you noticed, it happens kind of gradually, but the days are a lot longer already. So it tells me that spring is coming around real fast. And it just, always the seasons speak to me of the faithfulness of God. He never skips winter. He never skips spring. And sometimes it seems like it in Montana. But he's always faithful. And it says he will be faithful until he comes back. And we believe that. But I've been praying about and seeking God. And I hope you do as well. Pray about what should we preach. I realize that your spirituality is not completely dependent by no means on what is preached on, you know, in 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. If that's where you're looking for, inward things to happen, your spirituality, I'm sorry, you're probably going to be very disappointed. What you need is that ongoing relationship with Christ. You need to open the Word of God. But it is a day that we set aside, and we come together, and we exhort one another, and we try to be an edification of one another in the short time that we have. So it is important, but I've been praying about this, and one thing that is kind of troubling to me, and it goes along a little bit with what Steve was sharing, that's kind of troubling to me is are we really, we're looking to the next generation. I look at all these young people, and I love y'all dearly. You're wonderful young people and the children. We're so blessed. It's just a blessing to me to see this, but when I think about this, I have to wonder sometimes, are you being equipped? Are you being taught? Are you being discipled in a way that you can go out into the world and make it? I'd like to think that we're all going to be together in heaven one day. But are we doing that? Are we equipping you? We really major on seeing children born again and saved, and then we love baptizing you, and we should. Because if you're not born again, and baptized, you're not even in the race. But it seems like we're strong on that, and then we kind of are a little weak in our discipleship and follow-up. And anyways, so I really feel that the Lord wanted me to preach a series, and this might stretch on for quite a while, on morality and truth. And why is that important? I think it's very important because, you know, America, a lot of people like to talk about democracy. I don't know if you understand democracy, but democracy is when the majority rules. And You can have some of that go on in a church. And that's okay if democracy rules in a church, if the democracy finds their answers here. But when the democracy, the majority, doesn't find their answers here, even though 80% of y'all might say it's okay, if you didn't get your answer from the Word of God, it's a failure. It's not going to work. It's not going to hold out. So it's important that, you know, I think sometimes we're weak in teaching foundational beliefs. Like, you know, for instance, I'll just pull one out that comes to my mind is abortion. We think, well, our kids don't need taught on that. We all have more brains than that. Don't kid yourself. You say, well, you think maybe the gay, LGBTQ, I don't know what all those letters are. You think, well, we'd never have to worry about that, would we? Don't kid yourself. If you do not teach those things, you will lose them. You will. Because there's a world out there that is vying for the souls of your children. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And if you think that, well, my kids have brains because I have brains and I've got it all together and I'm that guy right in the middle of the road. You know, we don't want to be too far left and too far right, right? We just want to be just right. I don't know about you, but I mean, most of us, if we're honest, we realize that we have work to do and we don't have all the answers. But most of us would like to think that we're that kind of even keel. We're not too far left, we're not too far right, and we're just kind of, we really have it. We really want to be that person. But the fact of the matter is to just try to focus on, again, and I don't want to take from this in any way. Let me tell you, I do believe very firmly. The Bible says ye must be born again. And you have to know, if you want to be in victory today, you kind of need to know your position in Christ. You kind of need to know that you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know those things, if you're not born again, and you don't have assurance of your salvation, you're going to struggle. I don't care how much foundational stuff we teach. It's not going to happen. But if you know that you're born again and you know your position in Christ, but there's more than that that needs to be taught. The fight that we're in, you know, it's almost not safe to send your child to a university today. This. Be real frank, it's just pretty much not safe. If your child is in any way, shape, or form, a little bit wishy-washy on their faith, a little bit not sure on their faith, if there's any little bit of doubt, if they're not sure where they are in Christ Jesus, if there's something going on, they're not real sure, and you send them off to university, I'll tell you what, you're asking for trouble. Because there are a lot of professors out there that look forward to indoctrinating your child and to leading them and steering them away from the Word of God. They have an agenda. And we don't have an agenda, but we have a purpose. And that purpose is to see our children living in foundational truth, starting with being born again and being right with God, knowing our position, knowing who we are and our identity in Christ, but also opening the Word of God and seeing the foundational truths. If they don't know them, they're not taught them, they're not seeing them in the Word of God, they're going to be open to other things. Morality seems like, truth seems like it has taken a hit in this country. But it has not changed. Truth has not changed. It will not change. Morality will not change. God's morality, God's truth is unchangeable. It's not going to happen. But I would like to just help us to establish, and before I go into this today, I would like to just look through the scriptures and see, is truth important? Is obeying the commandments of God important? Are we going to lose our way if we don't? I'd like to look at a few of those things. And that foundation is found in the Word of God. But we must agree that any spiritual revelation or prophecy or preaching must be supported by the Word of God. If you hear me say things up here and you say, I don't find that in the Word, you need to tell me. You need to hold me accountable. It says in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. He saw this thing coming. He's like, don't believe everything that you hear. Try the spirits. One time years ago, it was amazing. We had left the church we were raised in, and we're kind of trying to find our way, and we kind of got caught up in a cult. And the Lord started speaking to us, and he started showing us that this wasn't, we were just having a lot of questions. And I think it was because of y'all's prayers. But we were having a lot of questions, and it was amazing. Literally, it seemed like every time I'd sit down and open my Bible, it'd go to that verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. And amazingly enough, God led us out of there in his mercy. And that cult has went from bad to worse. Today, they are lifting up their lead apostle as some kind of a god. It's really sad. But we were that close to being caught up and swept up in there. But it was amazing. That verse is always special to me because when I opened my Bible, it was like it would just fall open and be, beloved, try the spirits. I would ask that as we endeavor on this mission to teach truth and morality, that you would remember to pray about this. To pray that God would show us what is important. What does God's word say that he hates, and what does God's word say that is an abomination to him? Like, for instance, Proverbs, and I'm not going to turn there for now for sake of time. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, these seven things are, you know, he says he hates these things, and these seven are an abomination. We need to look and see what those things say. And then, for instance, I want to give you another example. You know, I know we don't ever want to take away from the love of God. I love that song, the love of God is greater far than any tongue can tell. And it says if all were scribes by trade, you could never write the love of God. You could never write the whole. But God also, and I believe that with all my heart. But we have to face reality. There are certain people that God is not going to allow in his kingdom. You've got to get that straight. There are certain people. Now, does God grant everyone repentance? Absolutely, he does. You can be here today, and maybe perhaps, and I hope this isn't the case, have the most vicious, vile, evil sin ever imaginable in all the world, and God can grant you repentance, and he will if you're honest and you ask him. But there are things that he says he will not allow into the kingdom. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, he said. He said, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He's not going to do it. Is he loving? Does he love those people? Yes, he does. He loves them so much that he sent his son to call them out and to save them from those sins and to bring them into the kingdom. Hallelujah. He didn't leave those people. He didn't leave us that were those things in our sin to die. But he sent his son to call us out and to draw us out of that deep miry clay. We will look at verses like those. Thieves, covetous, fornicators. What do these things mean, and how should the saints today relate to such folks? Again, like I said, I don't hope this discourages you in any way. I think that we need to teach on position and our standing in Christ, but I also think that if with all these dear children, I think to take for granted that if we teach them position and standing only, that the rest of these things will all fall in place. Let's not take that for granted. True, when we seek these, and we're not going at this thing to try to make ourselves the morality church that has everything right. No, you've got to start with the foundation that is in Christ Jesus. And when that happens, we seek these other things out of that lens. that we are His children, that we are the children of God, we are the called out of God, we are the saints, we are made. And then we look at these things that we're putting on the whole armor of God. There's a reason that God taught law and morality and truth in the inspired word that He left us. There's a reason He put that in there. Will you stand with me and pray together and in the weeks ahead and seek God's face in these things? Because like Brother Steve shared, I think your burden is right, Steve. I think your burden is correct in that we have to know where we are and who we are. And the first thing I would like to do this morning is establish that Jesus always was, that He is of the Trinity. He is of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He always was and He always will be. And that the worlds were framed by Him. And we're going to get a few verses in John 1, verse 1 to 5. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. There was nothing made without Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. You see, how is it possible that in today's world there are many church-going people that are massively deceived? How is that possible? They're massively deceived. They might go to church and they might even preach and yet ignore some of the basic commands of God. Basic commands. Simple stuff like we say, you know, they argue for abortion. They argue for LGBTQ, whatever. They do all that. But they read their Bible and they say they understand the love of God and they sing songs and they raise their hands and yet they're deceived. How is that possible? It says, because and the light shineth in the darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. We can't have it both ways. We can't say that we want and know the love of God, and yet we will rip half the Bible out and close it because we don't like it, or it makes us unpopular, or it might cost our life. We can't be of that. So clearly Jesus, He's not a created being like you and I are. We were created. We believe in the miracle of birth. Absolutely amazing. But we're created beings, not Jesus. Jesus always was and always will be. Jesus and God are one. They don't argue. They don't clash in the spirit. They don't disagree. In fact, if you read the Old Covenant, you will see that the Old Covenant points us to the new. It's not something that we just say, all right, from Genesis to Malachi, we're going to rip it out and put it away. No, not at all. Because there's so much treasure in there, so much prophecy, so many things in there that are applicable to us today. Does God still hate today what He hated then? Did God change? Are there things still an abomination to God that were an abomination in the old? Are they still an abomination to God today? So what changed from the old to the new covenant? Well, one of the most beautiful things about the old to the new covenant is when Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. He came to fulfill that old covenant. Johnny, you did have to go out and drag in the best-looking lamb and offer it up for your sin. You didn't have to go out there and have the high priest go in and behind the veil for you know, to deal with your sins and my sin. We don't have to do that. It's a beautiful thing where Jesus came into the new covenant. He established us. Now we have a way that we can come and the veil is torn. We have access to the Father through Jesus. So whether Jesus said it, or God said, or God inspired an apostle or a saint to write it, we must believe that it is all from God and all for us today. I'm telling you today, saints, if you're going to take this Bible and you're going to say, well, I just don't know about some of the teachings of Paul. I don't think he quite got everything just right. You know, because he's a man just like you and I. And I'm going to start taking little things out of here and say, well, he wrote the Romans 1. He surely, you know, he was just mad at the Romans and he was picking on them. You can't start doing that. If you read Romans 1 and you see what it says about the things that are coming, you need to understand this was the inspired Word of God. He didn't write this for a joker because he was mad at the Romans or mad at us. He wrote it because it was truth. It was inspired. A lot of what we read in the Bible was Jesus, God, in the flesh, on the earth, teaching and preaching to us right here. They could touch Him and feel Him and hear Him. A lot of the Bible is from what was here. In a sense, it's not only the inspired Word of God, but you know what else it is? It's history. It was documented. They heard it with their ears and they wrote it down. Amazing. You might be here today as a young person, well, how do I know Jesus died on the cross? It's history. It was written down in the annals of history. It's there today. He did die, and the grave is empty. And these lying professors, it's like you said this morning, Steve, they're all going to bow. Every single one, every knee is going to bow. And you're going to bow either today in humility before God, acknowledging that He is Lord, or if you're one of those lying, cheating people that are gone out and saying this stuff isn't true and trying to indoctrinate the youth and trying to tell them it didn't happen, your knee's going to bow too. And your tongue is going to confess that He is Lord and He did die and He did go to the cross and He was buried and He is resurrected. They're going to. I'm going to get a few scriptures in Psalm 119, 151, and a few more there. Psalm 119, about truth. 119, 151 says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are true. Love it. All His commandments are true. And in 159, verse 159, Consider how I love Thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to Thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Every single one of God's righteous judgments endures forever. Do not believe the corrupt cancel culture crowd that says these things are not for today because they are. He said they endure forever. Princess, wait, I lost my way here. 159, 165. Okay, let me get here. Psalm 119, 159. I read 160 where it says, Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of Thy word. Does your heart stand in awe of His word? I rejoice at Thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but Thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Is that us? Do you ever get frustrated and wonder where God is when you see what just happened here in our country? I've had questions for Him. I've been frustrated. Do I understand? Do I praise God? Do I give Him glory for His righteous judgments? Am I willing to wait on His righteous judgments and let His prophecy unfold? Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept Thy precepts and all Thy testimonies, for all my ways are before Thee. In John 15:37, I have a verse there I'd like to get. Why did Jesus come to earth? John 15:37. I must have wrote down the wrong reference again. Why am I struggling with this today? Where is that verse that says why Jesus came? John 15 doesn't have 37 verses. Y'all, some of you ought to know where this verse is. It says that Jesus came. He came to bear witness. Benjamin, help me out quick. He came to bear witness. Dennis. 18? Okay. It pays to pay attention when you're in your study. John 18:37. Thank you, Dennis. You saved the day right there. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Whew. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He said, for this cause I came into the earth, to bear witness for the truth. Beloved, is that your and I's? Is that what our testimony is, that we believe that God brought us here to bear witness of the truth? Do I bear witness of the truth? Jesus did such a beautiful job of bearing witness to the truth. How about us personally? Do we as individuals bear witness of that truth as Jesus did? I'd also like to look at John 17. John 17, verse 13. Get a few verses here. And Jesus again was in this section, he was actually praying, but he was speaking about the truth. John 17:13, it says, And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So he gave them his word, and it says the world hated them. Have you ever been hated for sharing the Word of God? I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And then in verse 15 it says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Right? Does that make sense? We are in this world. We have things going around us. We live in the presence of sin. There's cheaters and liars and false teachers and prophets and all these things all around us. And, you know, we're in and we're around them, but we're not of them. That is how we are sanctified. We are set apart for the glory of God. And he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. In other words, if I could say what sanctify means, is set apart. Set them apart through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Are we set apart? Through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. For years, I would read that verse, and I would be troubled, because I would feel like the churches are so splintered and so divisive and so much division. I say, how is Jesus' prayer? How is it answered? When Jesus said that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Are we of those that are divisive? And are we those that are of God's children, that we do our part in communing and fellowship in the unity of the Spirit? I'm not talking about, you know, conformity or, you know, just coming together with everybody so that we can prove, but are we in unity of the Spirit, that the world may know that Jesus was sent by the Father to redeem the world? But he was very what I really wanted to point out in this was how he brought the truth and how he gave us the word and how some rejected the word. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So are we of those people that want to be sanctified, that want to be set apart for his glory, for his truth? If we just mingle in and we just like, well, whatever, you know, I don't want to cause any rumbles or any division in my community, so I'm going to go with the flow and I'm not going to be known as standing up for what's right. I'm just going to kind of go along. I mean, you're Commissioner Josh. You just got to do what's politically correct. And no, don't. You can't do what's politically correct to save your office. It might cost you your office. In fact, it might cost you your place in nation. You know, there's a place in the scripture, I don't know where it is, but the religious people of the day, you know what one of their biggest problems was with Jesus? They said, this dude might cause us, and I'm paraphrasing, they didn't call him a dude, but they said he might cost us our place in nation, right? They were worried about that. They were really worried about losing their position in who they were in that day. Are you willing to lose your position? What are we going to do with subjects that are controversial? Should we just leave them? Somebody said no. Controversial subjects. We're going to dig into the Word and see what His heart is. You know what? One thing that we don't want to do is this. We hear this sometimes. You say, people talk about a subject about, you know, we'll pick divorce and remarriage because it's a big deal in the world today. And then there's people want to justify, well, you know, do you have everything figured out? Do you ever preach about covetousness? Well, we should. Don't get into this thing of saying, well, we're really, really strong on that, but then you're really weak on this. If you're really weak on this, you need to repent of that and not be weak on it. You can't compare and say, well, we you know, obviously we're not going to get into that because we've got our... No, you want to look at it all. If there's covetousness is a problem, then we need to repent of it and do something about it and teach on it. You say, well, we're going to just major on the things that are essential. Let me tell you, do you agree with me that if it's in the Bible, it's essential? Is it? Absolutely. Now, I want to clarify that just a little bit. If you're here today and the Spirit of God moves you to be saved, don't think that you need to have everything in the Bible down pat to be saved. It's not what I'm talking about. What is essential for you to be born again is that you believe that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again and that you confess this with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. That's why we sing, just as I am without one plea. Sorry, that was pretty bad singing, but that's why we do. Because we don't believe that you've got to have it all figured out. We don't believe that you've got to have all the doctrine and all the foundation and all the morality all figured out to come to Him and be saved. But then when you are saved, you want to know. You want to know those things. And so we're not going to put away any of those things. We need to open the Word of God, ransack the Scriptures, and see what it says. Or maybe we do this. Maybe we say, well, Jesus had some pretty clear teachings. Again, I'm bringing this up because it's a subject that we're very, very challenged on. And this whole thing of divorcing your wife and marrying another. Very, very challenged on that. Your generation, you're going to have to take some serious stands on those things. Maybe we don't really like what Jesus said and the blunt language that he used. And so we go back into the old covenant. Find some things there. Well, so well, God said some things in here about how to handle that. Do you believe that there are some things that Jesus raised the bar on? Do you think that there's some things in the new covenant that he said, you know what? God has winked at this long enough. And now I'm going to preach the heart of God. Do we believe that Jesus did that? He absolutely did. In the Old Covenant, he spoke a lot about adultery. In the New Testament, he said, if you look at a woman and you lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. He kind of raised the bar on some of these things. He didn't do that because he's mean, because he saw what happens when we veer away from the teachings and the commandments of God. It doesn't work out well. Do you think America, if she was honest, would admit that? When the professors of the law started closing the book, did you realize that years and years ago, I think that one of the main books where law was taught was right here out of this Bible? How many law schools do you think use this today to teach law? I bet you'd be hard-stressed to find one. They used to look in here. Where else are you going to get your basis for morality and truth? Some professor's opinion? You've got to open this word. And they used to, literally, I think the old lawyers were pretty smart guys. I think they got their basis for morality and truth out of the book of morality and truth, God's law, his commandments. What do we do if we find ourselves in a hard cause? And I might be standing up here preaching and trying to make it sound like, boy, it's just so easy. It's not. But there are answers here if we're willing to seek God in it. I'm going to get a few verses in John 14, verse 14. It says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you want an honest answer from God in anything in life? He'll give it to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. There's the key. He gives us a comforter. Some things are not easy. I'll be real honest. There's times, and especially ministry, where there's hard choices to be made. And in those times, sometimes you make somebody unhappy, the one side or the other or whatever. I mean, there's just really hard choices to be made. Even the Spirit of truth, though, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There are times, beloved, that are hard things that we're up against. And we will be. We had hard decisions to make in 2020. You know, there was the decisions to be made. Well, the government said the churches shouldn't meet. It's not safe. And so we decide, okay, but the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know what I mean? There's times when I honestly didn't really know which way to go in these things. There's times when it's really, really hard. You want to honor the authorities as per what is allowed in the Word, but there's other times where when the authorities are corrupt, you cannot honor them. So how are we going to figure it out? We open the Word of God and we cry out to the Holy Spirit to lead us. There is not one single one of us men, and some of y'all are pretty smart, or women, but there's not one single one of us that has all the answers and knows everything. We are all dependent on God, His Word, and His Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I love that. That is Jesus speaking. He loves us. He says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to come to you if you let me. He could have added. He didn't, but that's exactly what his heart is. He said, I'll come to you. I will teach you. I will not leave you comfortless. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. How do we see him today? We see Jesus in each other. We know that he's alive. We know that he's alive. Because if you would have known me 30 years ago, and you would have known me then, you wouldn't know me now, right? I'm not that person anymore. Many of you are not that person anymore. You were born again. You were redeemed. And yet you know that Jesus lives in me because you see Jesus. At least I hope so. I see Jesus in many of you. I see Christ, his life being lived out in you. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And then he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. These were the words of Christ. So Jesus said that. Should we embrace that? Should we believe that? He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Manifesting, he's going to show himself to us. Are we a friendly place where Jesus is allowed to come and to show himself to us? Do we want that? Do we want to be that kind of a small part of the body of Christ where Jesus is welcome? Come and manifest himself. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Again, you might be thinking, well, do you think you have it all together? Absolutely not. But I know one that does. And he said he will come to us if we seek him and we ask him and we allow him. I would hope that we have hearts honest enough and pure enough that when sin is pointed out, that we are willing to repent and obey it, even if it's hard. I would hope that we would have the boldness and the love one for another. Help each other in this and to receive it if God puts a finger on our heart. God's love is so real and so deep, and he loves us in spite of our imperfections and our faults. But it's not his heart to leave us there. We read 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, and we see that God's love is not such that he is content to allow you in that state of adultery, in that state of fornication, in that state of covetousness, in that state of being a railer, in that state of being unforgiving. His love is so great that he sent his son to redeem all of that. Already did it. What we have to do is take a hold and believe it and allow him to wash us if we're guilty of any of those things. Because he said, these lovers, abusers of themselves with mankind, the thieves, the covetous, the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners, they're not going to inherit the kingdom. Cannot. But in his great love, he allows us repentance. In his great love, he loves us and he's calling us. So I believe that is very important. I hope you agree with me that we have to teach these things to our children. We have to teach them. Teach them. Oh, we have Jakey here today. Hi, Jake. So blessed that my wife is teaching him what God did on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. He knows. How old are you, Jake? 4 years old, and he knows what God did on the third day and what he did on the fourth day and what he did on the fifth day. And it's important that we teach our children these things. God's word tells us. You see, I think that we have to show our children and grandchildren what God's word really tells us, because if we don't read it, if we don't teach it, if we don't, we will lose our way. There's no way that you're going to keep your way if you just say, well, I'm going to go with the flow. I don't want to be this oddball Christian that UT's preaching about. I really want to be, just do it my way. I don't want to cause any ripples. I don't want to be looked at as the Jesus freak or the reverend or anything like that. I don't want to be called names by my friends. I just want to be a Christian and left alone, okay? May God help us. I hope that you support me in prayer and in teaching and doing this. Like I said, I can no way do this on my own in the chapel here, but you as parents can teach your children. You can teach them these things. It says, while they're lying down, while they're rising up, and while you're working, and while you're... All these things, not just in word, but in principle. Do they see Jesus when they see mommy and daddy? I would like you to also hold me accountable to live what I preach. My goal is to see Jesus glorified. And to see this church going in spirit and in truth. I would love nothing better if that God should grant me life when I'm 70 or 80. I hope I'm retired in a large sense by then. And I come in here and I hear Aiden and Jamin and Johnny and Ryan and Chad and Jordan. I hope that I can just sit back and hear these young men preach the Word of God and believe it. I hope to see there's a fire in their little hearts. In their hearts, in their big hearts, there's a fire in there, and that they believe in the truth. They're unashamed to say, we believe that the Word of God in, 2041 is real for us today. The Word of God, we believe, we teach it, we want it. I was talking to a lady and her husband moved here the other day, and she said, she asked where I go to church, and I told her, and she says, well, I want to go to a church where the hard things are preached. We're like, I'm with you. Are we willing? Are you willing? Are you on board with me to open up the Word of God? If God's Word says it, allow it place in your heart today. I need to bring this to a close. In John, and I probably over the years have worn these verses out. John 8:31, Jesus was very clear when he talked about freedom. And there's a premium on freedom in this country today. We believe, and I love telling prisoners when we go to jail ministry that, you know what, you can be as free inside of these walls as I can be. Maybe not in the sense of physical freedom, but in your heart, you can be as free as anyone inside or outside of these walls. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whoa. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples. And he said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And what is it that's going to make you free? The truth shall make you free. So let us be such that we want assurance. Let us not be, okay, I think that this can be our problem. We want assurance from each other that we're walking in the truth. And, that's okay. I mean, there's safety in a multitude of counsel. But let's be such that we find our assurance that we're walking in the truth by measuring up. It's okay if your brother comes up to you and your sister and says, I appreciate how you stand for truth. If it's true, we don't believe in flattery. If somebody's not walking in the truth, then don't tell them they are. But where can we find assurance today that we are walking in the truth? Right here. Right here, we can open the Word of God and we can find assurance. Let us not be such that desire words of praise and affirmation if it's not real. But let's encourage each other that if we do stand for the truth, let us encourage each other. There are many false prophets in the world, and like I read in 1 John, we don't want to give in. We have to make sure that we know if they're true or false. So I'm going to close with one more passage of Scripture here, if you would give me the time to do that. In Ephesians 3, I think that every sermon should be completed on a positive note, and I don't probably always do that, but that's sure my heart. I don't like just really preaching hard things and not giving solutions, but in Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Allow God to strengthen you by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Is there room in your heart today? That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We all want that, don't we? Don't we want to be filled with all the fullness of God? What is the fullness of God? How great is the fullness of God? I don't think we'll ever totally experience all of it in this life, but we can experience that hole in our heart being filled and having that yearning satisfied. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That is my heart and my yearning for us, that we could fully comprehend his love and what he wants for us, what he has for us. And I pray that as we go through this life, there's many times, I'll tell you, I say this, and I don't know if I should, but I say this. I say, you know what? Marriage is hard. Church life can be hard. Life in the workplace can be hard. It can be exceedingly hard, but there is nothing, beloved. There is absolutely nothing in this life that we face that God is not going to bring us through. If we keep our hearts open and small and humble before him, and we are absolutely all in for receiving the commandments of God and believing the word and applying it to our life, there is nothing that he will not bring us through. Beloved, I hope that you believe this. I think this is very, very foundational for us to believe. If we want to teach on morality and truth, then we've got to believe that God's word is absolute. And absolutely for 2021, I hope and pray you stand with me and pray with me. Can we pray at this moment? Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the word of God. I pray against all of the forces of evil and against all the demons of hell. I pray the blood of Jesus over all of us, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful. Help us to go through this word, and like the brother shared, shut off Facebook or whatever else it is that's taking our time. Shut it off and turn to the word of God and look to the Spirit of the Lord to lead us in these last perilous days. Lord, we choose not to live in fear. We choose not to live because fear has torment, but we choose to live in the power of God and in your great love. And I pray that blessing over each one that's here today. I don't know what's going on in every heart, but you already know. God, I pray that you would draw each soul to yourself, each heart to yourself. And Lord, you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. If they need comfort, you would bring them comfort. If they need truth, you would pour that truth into their life, Lord. I pray, God, your blessing on each one of us now. Just bless the remainder of our day. And Lord, let us live our life for your glory. God, we want to be humble. We want to be small in your eyes because it says God resists those that are proud, Lord. I don't want the God of the universe to well up against me. I want to be your friend, you to be my father because I'm your son, Lord. We thank you for that we're joined heirs together with Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise, and we say amen. May the Lord bless you.